The word of God given us today is Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. Chapter 3, verse 17 to 21.
빌립보서 3장 17절부터 21절까지 말씀을 제가 봉독하겠습니다.
Allow me to read. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Amen.
The Great Stone Face is a short story written by Nathaniel Hawthorne, renowned for The Scarlet Letter. In a valley surrounded by mountains, were people with a variety of occupations living. And the Great Stone Face, seen far in the distance, was naturally made of huge rocks. The forehead only seemed as high as 100 feet. If it was able to speak, the sound would have echoed around the whole mountain ranges. At a glance, it looked like being hewed out in the cliff, but in fact was seen for the excellent harmony of huge rocks. Taking a closer look, it was a chaotic bunch of rocks, far from a face. From a distance, however, it looked elegant, warm, dignified, and gentle. Mom told her son, Honest, an old story. Someday in the future, a child born in this village would become the greatest and most noble man in the world and look like the Great Stone Face. Honest longed for meeting him in his life. Since Honest worked at farms, his face was tanned. But he was smarter than others attending schools. The only teacher for him was the Great Stone Face, and he would look at the Great Stone Face after work for a few hours. It seemed that the Great Stone Face also smiled at him. One day, the village was buzzing with news that a young man was coming back to the village with a fortune made from his business at a port city. People called him Gather Gold and said it would take 100 years to count all his money. He first of all sent an architect to build a palatial house. When he finally arrived, people cheered to say, "This man is the one who resembles the Great Stone Face." But Honest disagreed with them. An old lady and two little beggars begged from Gather Gold in a coach. He didn't even show his face and scattered some coppers. Looking at that, Honest thought Gather Gold is in fact Scatter Copper. Many years later, gather golds passed away. There was nothing left among his possessions, and only his palatial house was used as a hotel. Little Honest became a young man. People liked him for being diligent, sincere, and sociable, but thought foolish when he looked up at the great stone face. There was a commander returning to the village after making a significant contribution in a war. People called him Old Blood and Thunder. People fired gun salute and threw a party to welcome him and received him with cheers. Honest, however, did not feel the same way. His face was far from being generous or warm. Honest said in disappointment, "How long should I wait again?" Now, Honest became middle-aged. His was all the same through his life, but started to be known among people. He was gentle, and his words were always touched people. Then word spread that a politician would get home who resembles the great stone face. His tongue was stronger than a sword or wealth. His words sometimes thundered, and sometimes sounded like music. When he spoke, even the evil became the good, and vice versa. People called him Stony Fizz and wanted him to become the president. And that was what he wished too. However, he was not the great stone face either. In Honest's eyes, he was bored and, like little child, obsessed with gaining more power. Time passed by and Honest became old. As he grew older, his academic and living wisdom also matured, so that even college professors and businessmen came to see him for his advice. One day, a poet visited Honest. Honest thought he could possibly be the great stone face, but he was not. At dusk, Honest used to share his wisdom of living with neighbors. In the eyes of the poet, that sharing was a word of life and a noble poem. In his face, there was tenderness and gentleness. The poet unknowingly shouted with his hands up, "Look, Honest resembled the great stone face." People recognized that the poet was right. But Honest quietly went home after his words and waited for the one who resembled the great stone face more than he did. Today's text tells us whom we should sincerely resemble and emulate. The person who received the gospel by Apostle Paul and his colleagues in Philippi was Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, and her family, an evil-possessed girl, a jailkeeper of a prison in Philippi, and his family. They were at the center when the Philippian church began, and 10 years later, Paul sent his mail from the Roman prison to the Philippian church. On the surface, Paul was a sinner captured by the Rome, but he never thought that way. He always thought that he was captured by Christ Jesus because the Lord held him, let his eyes open and long for the eternity. In fact, before being captured by God, Apostle Paul was captured by himself. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. All was what he captured, or what he was captured by. He was convinced that these were the highest value and would stand him above others. However, compared with being captured by Christ Jesus, it was nothing. This is the same story of those who saw the Alps of Switzerland or Grand Canyon of the U.S. in person instead of pictures and postcards. No, there is a greater gap. There is none who experienced a change in life after seeing the Alps or Grand Canyon firsthand. In comparison, there is none who did not experience their life changed after being captured by Jesus. Since then, Apostle Paul, captivated by Jesus Christ, had run toward the same direction for 30 years. But he thought that it was not done yet. There is no perfection in the life on this earth. There is only the process toward perfection. We're runners going toward perfection, eternity, the prize for which God has called us. Some are ahead and some are behind. Sometimes we may surpass them or be surpassed by them. What is important is being on track. When we finish our race, our Lord, with eternal perfection, would embrace us with open arms. With his testimony that he was running toward the prize for which God had called him, Apostle Paul encouraged the members of the Philippian church to join him. He appeals again as follows in verse 17, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Verse 17 in Korean starts with brothers. This is the word we can see often in Apostle Paul's letters. When preachers want to change sentences, they usually use "my beloved congregation" or "my beloved brothers and sisters." But the word brothers has more meaning. It is very intimate and friendly. Of course, it also refers to sisters. How many brothers do you have? Is a question asking not only the number of brothers literally, but also that of sisters. The Greek word adelphos, meaning brothers, has originated from the word meaning womb. If you are from the same womb, you are siblings. So brothers has intimate connotation. It means that Paul regarded the members of the Philippian church as his brothers and sisters from God's womb. In such friendly words, Paul encouraged them to follow his example with others. Faith is communal, so we use with or together. When my faith gets weak or strong, others around you are influenced. Other people's degree of faith can also influence me too. That's why we have to encourage each other to walk and run together. We do group Bible study regularly on Fridays or Sundays. It is because we have to have faith together. Regarding faith, there is no maverick or self-made man. Thanks to our brothers and sisters God destined for us, we now can hold ourselves. When there were no socks of modern style, people in Korea wore traditional socks called boseon. They made their own boseon at home with a pattern. There was another kind of pattern for their clothes. They made boseon and clothes following those patterns. When children learn English alphabets or Chinese characters, they practice writing characters on a pattern following light lines or dots. Their patterns, which can be referred to as examples. It's not easy, however, to say, follow my example. Some parents may say, follow your brother's example, or try to follow your sister's example, even though it is not half as good as it is. However, it is not likely that brothers and sisters talk that way to their younger siblings. You may take someone to follow as a mentor. But no one says, get me as your mentor and follow me. How could Paul say, follow my example then? It is because he had an example to follow. 1 Corinthians testifies as follows. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Apostle Paul had his own example to follow, Jesus Christ. The only example to follow for all of us, as well as Apostle Paul and the Philippians, is Jesus Christ. Like Apostle Paul struggled to follow Jesus Christ, we also struggle to follow Jesus Christ and eventually become like him through the struggle. Like other Jews, Paul was waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah was supposed to be higher than the Roman Emperor to liberate them from oppressive Roman ruling and reveal superiority of Jews to the world. However, Jesus Christ was born in a humble carpenter's family through a virgin called Mary. He didn't have any worldly power, knowledge, or properties. He couldn't have been the Messiah. Apostle Paul was certain that such a man couldn't be the Messiah. So he hated Jesus Christ and his followers as well. At that moment, the one who was crucified for our sins and rose from the dead came to Paul in person on his way to Damascus for rounding up Christians. Jesus Christ is the Messiah he had waited for a long time. If he had not been the Messiah, if he had not come to Paul, Paul would have lived the life captured by worldly things he thought he can count on and better. Being deeply moved, Paul lived the life totally different from the one he used to live. He followed worldly examples and laws before, but now he only followed Jesus Christ, he said. Apostle Paul is not a high-ranking official. He is not a professor of a Roman university. He's not rich enough to control the Roman economy. He's a nameless prisoner who might be set free or be executed. Nonetheless, he encourages us confidently to follow my example. We feel shame at this phrase. There are many grandeur and beautiful church buildings in Korea. Even though the number of Christians have been shrunk, there are still many churches with big congregation, a variety of Bible classes, and events are available at churches. But there is no example to follow. It is hard to find a good Christian example to follow. It is really regretful that we ourselves are not enough to be examples. It is even more regretful for the pastors like me. I am so sorry to church members and to the Lord. It is said that people meet the person who resembles Jesus Christ before meeting the real Jesus Christ. It is really difficult for those who learn about Jesus Christ through me to surpass me. Of course, if you get some kind of special blessing, the story might be different. If I'm a Sunday Christian, it is likely that people around me are like me. Even if you look like a Christian, your worldly view would lead those around you to the wrong way. You cannot lead people to somewhere you've never been to, such as things you're not sure about, or the example you never followed. I'd like to read verse 17 in New Standard Version. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Apostle Paul encouraged the members of Philippian church to follow his example, but they were physically not able to follow his example. The result of the trial was not predictable. So Paul said that they should take note of those who live following him, Timothy and Titus. The example of Christ is in the gospel. Read the gospel and follow Jesus' example. It is the right way to have faith. Apostle Paul's life, captivated by God and teaching, are in his letters, so following his example is also having right faith. If these two things are overwhelming, find someone who follows Jesus Christ and Apostle Paul's examples and follow him or her. It is the right way to have right faith. There is a book, Imitatio Christi, written by Thomas A. Kempis, which is referred to as the third world's greatest Christian classics, with Confession by Augustine and The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Its English title is The Imitation of Christ. We begin to have faith by imitating Jesus Christ. Imitating and following Christ is the beginning, process, and the result of faith. Then, eventually, we're able to imitate the fullness of Christ. One more good way to imitate Christ is to read biographies of some Christians. We should learn how Christians who had lived before us followed Christ. What thoughts and attitudes they had. Then we can apply what we've learned to how we struggle to follow Christ. Have you ever drawn a line to play a game on the ground when you are very young? How can you draw it right? You designate one point far from your position and draw a straight line with a stick toward it. They might not seem to be straight from section to section, but they look straight as a whole. If you draw a line by looking at the ground to make each section straight, the line will not be straight at all, even though each section might look straight. When we follow Jesus Christ and those who follow the Christ, our life becomes straight. As the great stone face made honest, we have the great stone that makes us beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 testifies as follows. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. The Israelites crossed over the Red Sea by the way they never thought of. But their clothes and shoes didn't change after they crossed over the Red Sea. Their properties weren't either doubled or tripled. Their appearance didn't change at all. Their intelligence level and their talents were the same as before. Seemingly, there was no change. But there was a change for sure. Their status had changed. They were slaves before crossing over the sea, but they were free afterwards. They belonged to Egypt and the darkness before, but after, they belonged to Canaan and the light. God fed them with holy food and drink. The water they drank was not found by them. It came from the holy rock that followed them. The rock is called Christ. The origin of strength that had held the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness was not from them, but from the Lord. The second verse of a hymn says, "All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see." Even though the great stone face was just a rock, it changed Honest's life. However, our eternal rock, our Lord, is not far from us and was born as a man to let the water of life spring before us and drink the water. The Advent that starts from the next week is the season for waiting for that. If you believe that the Lord is our rock and eternal great stone face, what should we do in our life? When we truly follow the Lord, were able to say to others like this, "Brothers and sisters, as I follow Jesus Christ, follow my example. If you are able to say this, you are already a great stone face that resembles the Lord." Let us pray. Father, our rock, we often wait for the great stone face, and we eagerly hope to be like the great stone face. However, the face we hope to be like often is the face of Gather Gold, who is richer than any others. As what we have gets bigger or smaller, our sense of pride and inferiority fluctuate. And the great stone face we long for is often elevation of our name, like old blood and thunder did. How much do we get depressed when our name was not noted? Sometimes we think becoming the great stone face is having great power, like Stony Phiz. We often want to be a big figure before people and not before you. Lord Father, now we change our mind again. Let us keenly realize that our true and only great stone face is our Lord, and that there is nothing better than following the Lord. Let us communicate and interact with the Lord, our rock that springs water of life, and let us know that imitating the Lord is the noblest wish and the title of prayer. And let us restore Korean churches which have been wrecked by unspeakable shame as we become the great stone face in this era. And let us be a good example that others can follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.